Here's why helicopter pilots practice autos. Boeing checks Dreamliners for stabilizer issues. And the FAA picks industry partners for an environmental initiative. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 28, 2010. A helicopter providing pool TV coverage for the funeral procession of a Marine killed in action in Afghanistan made news of its own Thursday when it made an emergency landing following an engine failure. The helicopter was being shared by three Detroit-area TV stations. The Detroit News reports the crew heard two loud bangs, and then the aircraft began to lose power. The pilot auto-rotated to a safe landing in a field behind a Jeep dealership about 4 miles west of Selfridge Air National Guard Base just before 11 a.m. No one on board was injured. The helicopter was following the funeral procession of Corporal Jeffrey Standfast, who died in combat June 16th. Boeing says it recently identified a workmanship issue with the Dreamliner's horizontal stabilizers. Some 787s apparently have issues with improperly installed shims and the torque of associated fasteners, and Boeing says the finding requires inspection of all the airplanes and rework if discrepancies are found. The announcement may have been prompted by reports the Dreamliner fleet is grounded. Boeing spokeswoman Yvonne Leach tells the Seattle Times that's not correct, and that the company just decided to do inspections on all the planes before they fly again, which will take about 2 days per plane. Those requiring reworking will be sidelined about another 8 days. She adds the improperly installed shims could have led to a lower-than-expected longevity for the joints in the horizontal stabilizer. The Italian manufacturer Alenia builds the tail assembly for Boeing. No doubt we'll be reminded of that in the next Machinists Union contract cycle. Boeing says the 787 remains on track for first delivery to All Nippon Airways by the end of this year. The FAA has announced $125 million in contracts to develop and demonstrate technologies that will reduce commercial jet fuel consumption, emissions, and noise. The contracts are part of the FAA's CLEAN program. That's an acronym for Continuous Lower Energy Emissions and Noise. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt said Thursday, quote, "The CLEAN program is a central piece of the next generation air traffic modernization environmental strategy," unquote. The FAA is contracting with Boeing, GE, Honeywell, Pratt & Whitney, and Rolls-Royce North America to demonstrate a variety of technologies, with the companies matching the FAA's investments. The goals include a reduction of fuel burn by 33%, a 60% reduction of nitrogen oxide emissions, and a reduction in cumulative aircraft noise by 32 dB. Open Skies is a British Airways subsidiary named for the international agreement which made its roots possible. The all-business airline is celebrating its second anniversary operating transatlantic flights. Service was launched on June 19, 2008, following the Open Skies agreement that was signed the previous March 30th. Open Skies now operates 2 flights daily between Paris and New York and 5 weekly flights between Paris and Washington, D.C. The airline says it's flown more than 155,000 passengers between Paris and New York. That's a 29% market share. Open Skies says it's currently considering 20 key business destinations to launch its third route, anticipated this summer. Up next on ANN, Jazz averts a pilot strike. Flight attendants file for mediation with PSA Airlines. And the Gulfstream G150 gets WAZ. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 28th. I'm Paul Platt. After its pilots authorized a strike by a 99-1 margin back in May, the ALPA promised them backup, and with the clock ticking, Jazz Air, the airline formerly known as Air Canada Jazz, has reportedly reached a contract settlement with the union. If approved by the Jazz Master Executive Council, A tentative agreement will be taken to the pilots for final ratification in early July. Details are not being released pending that vote. In the U.S., PSA Airlines flight attendants, represented by the Association of Flight Attendants CWA, have filed for mediation with the National Mediation Board. Sheila Rivas, president of the union's PSA Airlines group, says of the action, quote, "We can no longer afford to deal with a management team that refuses to negotiate in good faith. We are committed to reaching a new agreement that is acceptable for our members and look forward to having the NMB appoint a mediator who will help move negotiations in that direction," unquote. AFA-CWA says management continues to come to the table with regressive proposals. PSA is a wholly owned subsidiary of U.S. Airways. The FAA has issued information for operators concerning the reporting of problems with glass panels in general aviation airplanes. The agency says that technicians can perform a critical role by voluntarily reporting malfunctions or defects associated with electronic primary flight, navigation, and control system displays. A recent NTSB study found that multiple instances of glass cockpit avionics malfunctions were not reported to the FAA and did not result in a service difficulty report. The FAA says identification and tracking of safety issues will be increasingly important as light aircraft avionics systems and equipment continue to increase in complexity and variation of design. To that end, the FAA is recommending that aircraft operators and maintenance technicians should voluntarily report problems found on the FAA's service difficulty reporting site. Gulfstream has announced that the FAA has certified WAAS GPS functionality on the G-150. The optional WAAS-capable receiver can be installed on new G-150s during final phase manufacturing or as a retrofit on all in-service G-150s. The company notes the accuracy and precision WAAS and LPV provide means pilots can reduce the number of missed approaches and diversions, improving safety and reducing costs. WAAS functionality is provided to Gulfstream large cabin aircraft as part of the optional enhanced navigation package upgrade to the Plainview flight deck. Still ahead, Phillips 66 dealers get a free trial of NATA membership. PowerFlow is ready to pump up your Husky. And the last B-29 is ready for action once again. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 28th. I'm Paul Plack. NATA, the National Air Transportation Association, says Phillips 66 Aviation has provided introductory membership in NATA to its branded dealers that are currently not members. Rod Palmer, Manager of General Aviation for Phillips 66 Aviation, commented, quote, "We believe it is important to have a strong national organization representing the interests of the general aviation industry and our branded dealers," unquote. The dealers will be able to take advantage of NATA's advocacy efforts, be informed of developments in the industry via member publications, and be able to participate in money-saving benefit programs such as workers' comp insurance. PowerFlow has developed a tuned exhaust system for the 180-horsepower Aviat Husky and expects FAA STC approval by this summer. The company reports 26 orders for the product and is offering special pricing for Husky owners who purchase a system before July 31st. The company says that if 30 owners commit to purchase tuned exhausts, they'll get a $500 pre-production discount. If orders exceed 50, the discount will reach $715. PowerFlow says its testing in the Husky shows gains of 5 miles per hour in cruise, or fuel savings of 1.2 gallons per hour at the original cruise setting. Rate of climb increases by 13.4% from 9,000 to 11,500 feet, and the service ceiling increases by at least 2,000 feet. PowerFlow expects to begin production of the Husky systems in August and offers a 60-day trial with a no-questions-asked full refund return policy that covers shipping, along with a one-year 500-hour warranty. Finally, tomorrow's a big day in Midland, Texas. The Commemorative Air Force is putting what it says is the world's only remaining airworthy B-29 Superfortress back in the air after a four-year engine replacement project. The CAF found the aircraft in 1971, when the Pentagon was sure there were none left. It had been sitting in the California desert near China Lake since the late 1940s, and over the years had been used as a gunnery target and vandalized. After 3 years of paperwork, fundraising, and the restoration itself, she was christened Fifi and took her place on the CAF flight line in 1974. In the years since, the Wright R3350-57AM engines have given every bit of the trouble they were notorious for. CAF says that when metal turned up in the engine oil 4 years ago, it was decided to park Fifi and adapt engines custom-built as a hybrid of the R3350-95W and R3350-26WD. That involved revising engine mounts and the cowlings, but now she's ready to fly again. CAF President Steve Brown says of the community, quote, "The Midland-Odessa community has offered such great support for the B-29 during the last 4 years. We are excited to invite our neighbors out to see her first flight in 4 years. This has been an extensive project, and the CAF is proud of the member volunteers who worked tirelessly to get Fifi back in the air so quickly," unquote. The CAF Air Power Museum's doors will open tomorrow and Wednesday mornings at 7 a.m. for visitors who'd like to watch pre-flight and Fifi's return to the skies. It's located near Midland International Airport. Adult admission is $10. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves discusses a subtle change in FAA regs that every pilot should know about. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.